one of those churches are way up in the frozen wastelands of northern, you know, we have a lot of people here that just don't care for the snow in the winter. Do you know that? You know, we're not even that far north. We're kind of in the middle. We get a winter, and we're not really all that bad off. But if you want to see a snowy place, you ought to go to Fargo, North Dakota. You know, really, Fargo, North Dakota. I've been up there. I've been up there and above, and so has Dad. We've been up in that area. And I can see why people would visit during the summer. That's about it. Anyway, there are some good churches up there, and you need to know that. There are some good churches. Even though they may have long winters and they might have cold weather, there's some good hot churches with some pulpits of flame up in that area. There's just some good guys and some good churches up there. And Fargo Baptist Church is one of them. Brother, his pastor, Tony Skeving, is one of those men with a vision. Very visionary and doing a lot for the Lord and cranking out young men. His legacy and his impact will be affected long after he's gone, and that's what we should all be striving for. One of those men is the missionary we have with us today, Brother Brian Weiss, missionary to the Philippines, came through, worked in the ministry, and learned his hands-on stuff in that ministry there under that pastor. And now God has called him to moving on to the Philippines. And so Brother Weiss presented his work to us during Sunday school, and we got to see a presentation, a DVD presentation. And we've asked him to also speak in the morning service. So Brother Weiss, you come on up, and if you would please present your work again, give a quick recap on your work and what you're doing, and then just preach, okay?
It is a blessing to be here this morning. I love being in the house of God on a Sunday morning. No better place to be as a born-again Christian, assembling with God's people and hearing preaching from the Word of God and worshiping Him. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful privilege. My name is Brian Weiss, as your pastor said, out of Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. The Lord has called my wife and I to go to the Philippines and Southeast Asia as missionaries. And we would certainly appreciate your prayers. We are on deputation right now. As we're on deputation, we're trying to do three things. The first thing we're trying to do is we're trying to raise financial support. Obviously, we can't go and work a job in the Philippines. We can't really support ourselves financially there. And so we're looking for churches of like faith and like practice who'd be willing to partner with us in the financial aspect of the ministry. And we just ask that you would be open to what the Lord would lead you to do in that area. One of the other things we're trying to do is we're trying to raise prayer support. We need God's people praying for us. There are a lot of battles on the mission field. There are spiritual battles, and they're very real. And the only way to get around them, the only way to get through them, is through the power of God. And we believe that God uses the prayers of His people. And so we are looking for prayer support as well. We have on the back table back there some prayer cards just to remind you to pray for us. We would ask that you would take one, take several. We've been told to give them out like candy. And we do that. Our son eats them like candy, so we got to keep them away from him. But we would just ask that you would take one of those. Remember to pray for us. The third thing that we're trying to do on deputation, we're trying to raise what I call partnership support. This is where God sends the reinforcements in, if I can put it that way. We're looking for people who would say, you know what, I see the need in that part of the world, and I would be willing to go and help alongside of the Weiss family in their ministry, maybe for a couple of weeks, maybe for a couple of months. Maybe the Lord will call you there full time, I don't know. But as we're traveling the country and presenting the burden that God has laid on our hearts and sharing the need that's there, we would ask that you would just open your hearts to whatever the Lord would have you to do in that area. The Philippines is an island nation. Over 7,000 islands make up the Philippines. It's north to south. It's very large because it's spread out over the ocean, obviously. If you took all of those islands and pushed them together, they'd be about the size of the state of Nevada, with nearly 100 million people living on those islands. The majority of those people are Roman Catholic. There are some Muslims there as well, and every other brand of religion that you can think of, but very few of the people are truly saved, they're truly born again. And so the Lord has burdened us to go and share the message of salvation with those people. For those that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ and they get saved, then to further the Great Commission, we plan to baptize them and then to disciple them and train them to go forth and do the same. The goal is to see churches planted in that part of the world. We believe that God works through New Testament Baptist churches. The Bible calls churches the pillar and ground of the truth. And so if we're going to see the pillar, or if we're going to see the truth go forward, we're going to need that foundation, need the lighthouse. And so that's really what the Lord has burdened us to do. So please pray with us and pray what the Lord would have you to do concerning the need in that part of the world. If you have any further questions for us, we'll be by our table in the back. You can feel free to ask us anything. We love talking about the country that God has called us to, and so we could spend all afternoon talking about it if you like. That's if I don't preach all afternoon. I don't. What's my time limit here? I'm just kidding. Put your pastor on the spot. I'm just kidding. I don't ever preach more than 2.5 hours. I promise. I'm just kidding. Jonah chapter number 1 this morning, if you would please. Jonah chapter number 1. The title of the message this morning is simply Lessons from Jonah. The Lord laid some things on my heart the last time I was reading through the book of Jonah, and I felt compelled to share them with you this morning. And once you reach Jonah chapter 1, I would ask that you would stand for the reading of the Scriptures. Out of respect for God's Word, you would just stand. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. Jonah chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Lessons that we can learn from Jonah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in a spirit of humility, asking that you would speak to us today. Lord, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit into this place and begin working in each of our hearts individually, Lord, showing us the areas of our lives where we're not right with you. Father, I pray that you would remove distractions as your word is preached this morning, that Satan would be bound, and that we would just have clear channels to be able to listen to you. Father, I pray that you would bring in those this morning who are not saved. I believe there are some even in our midst this morning who have probably never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would please, Father, convict them this morning of their sin and their need for the Savior. I pray that they would get that settled with you, that they would be saved before leaving this place this morning. And Father, that your name would be lifted up and glorified. And we will give you the honor and glory for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Lessons from Jonah. I believe the story of Jonah applies to our lives today. It's a very well-known story among Christians, even among many of those people who aren't Christians. But the story of Jonah, we know, is a story of a prophet who flees from God. He runs from the will of God. And folks, I believe this applies to us today because I believe we have many Christians this morning who are running from the will of God for their lives. It's been said before that there are two aspects to the will of God for your life. The first aspect would be God's general will for your life. That part of it is obedience. God's general will for your life is obedience. He wants you to be obedient to His Word. That manifests itself in different areas such as church attendance, Bible reading, being faithful in witnessing, tithing, all of these different things, they all apply to each and every one of us as God's will for our lives, to be obedient to Him. But then there's the other aspect of it that would be the specific will of God. This is the will, the plan that God has specifically for your life. Did you know that God has a plan for your life? God has a specific will. There is something that God wants you to do. Now, for many of you, that will probably lies right here in Cincinnati. He wants you to be in this church. He wants you to be serving in different areas of the ministry here. He wants you to be faithful in witnessing to your family and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers. But there may be even some here this morning that God's specific will for your life is to go across the world as a missionary, or to go across the state, or across the nation as a pastor somewhere. But whatever it is, God does have a will and a plan for your life. The question is this morning, are you obedient to His will? Are you even being obedient to His general will for your life this morning? Some things that I just would like to point out about Jonah here this morning. Jonah chapter number 3 tells us, but Jonah rose, or verse number 1, or chapter 1, verse number 3 tells us, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Something that I find very interesting about Jonah, before he rose up to flee, he must have been in the presence of the Lord. He must have been fellowshipping with God, he must have been walking with God, or he wouldn't have had to flee from His presence. God's presence in Jonah's life was so strong. Listen to this. It wasn't just that God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he just started backsliding and not really paying attention. But the presence of God was so strong in Jonah's life that he had to physically flee from his place. Two things about that this morning. First of all, the Bible tells us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Those of you who think you're doing great this morning, you're in the presence of the Lord, you're walking with God, you're fellowshipping with God, be on guard. At any moment, God could say, arise and go to Nineveh. Go to Saudi Arabia. Go to China. Go across the street. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Jonah started in the presence of the Lord. That's a very sobering thought. But you know something else about that? God's will is always revealed when we're fellowshipping with Him, when we're walking with Him. Jonah would have never heard the voice of the Lord had he not been in His presence. A lot of people today are saying, what's God's will for my life? Yet they haven't picked up their Bible to read it personally in months. Well, why doesn't God ever speak to me? Because you're not in His presence. The presence of God in Jonah's life was so strong, he had to physically flee. Are you that close to God this morning? We look at Jonah many times in a negative light, but you know, the Bible calls him God's servant, and he was a prophet. Are you that close to God this morning? Lessons from Jonah. First thing I see that we learn from Jonah is that disobedience to God's will always starts with running. It always starts with running. Again, back to verse 3, it says that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. The first thing God told him, this is what I want you to do, when he decided to disobey, he ran. Disobedience to God's will always starts with running. That may not be a physical fleeing. But you know, I see a lot of Christians that don't really care to come to church. They'll be there, Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, Wednesday night. But they're in for the service and they're out the door. Because they're uncomfortable in this place. Could that be because they're running from the will of God? Are you comfortable in God's house? Or are you running from God? Are you running from His will for your life? You see, disobedience to God always causes separation from God. Always. Disobedience to God always causes separation from God. Turn with me, hold a finger here in Jonah, because we're going to be back here. But Genesis chapter number 3. I find Genesis chapter 3 to be one of the most devastating chapters in all of the Bible. God, in chapter 1, created everything. In chapter 2, God gave man woman. The Bible says that God said it was very good. Everything was great. Adam and Eve were close with each other. They loved each other. They loved God. They walked with God. In chapter number 3, you remember the story they took of the fruit. The first sin of mankind, and something terrible happened. Man, for the first time, was separated from God's presence. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What a terrible thing. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. What should their response have been? To run out to Him, to greet Him and say, "Oh Lord, to be back in Your presence." But because of their sin, they hid themselves among the trees. The worst place you can be this morning, if you're saved, is among the trees. Hiding from the presence of the Lord. Running from where you know He wants you to be. And you can cover up with those fig leaves like Adam and Eve did. You can hide yourself. You can look good on the outside to other people, but you know inside that your walk with God is hindered because of the disobedience to His will. Every time I sin, which I sin every day, every time I sin, you know what the worst feeling is? Knowing that I'm separated from God. Oh, sure, I'm saved. My relationship with God is there. That will never go away. But I've hid myself from the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the presence of the Lord. But in order to be there, I need to be obedient to His will for my life. Disobedience always causes separation. But then can I also say this? If you'll go back with me to Jonah chapter 1. Disobedience to God's will always causes us to go downward spiritually. Verse number 3 of Jonah chapter 1. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. By the way, sin always has a price. And went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Do you see the progression here? Jonah's in the presence of the Lord. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he rises up and he flees. That's the separation that takes place there. You know what his next step is? Downward. Then he finds a ship and it's going. He doesn't care where it's going, but it's going away from the presence of the Lord. So he goes down into it. The storm rises up on the sea. The ship is about to be sunken. But Jonah doesn't care because he's down in the sides of the ship. And worse than that, he's fast asleep. Do you realize that you can get so far from God, even as a Christian this morning, that your life has gone down into the sides of a ship and spiritually you're asleep? There are a lot of Christians this morning asleep, unaware of the storm that's out on the sea. More importantly, unaware of the mariners up on the deck. Verse number 5, it says, Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Folks, the mariners on the ship were so terrified. They were calling onto their gods, every god that they could think of to save them. They were throwing things off of the ship. Do you realize this morning that all around you in the city of Cincinnati and all around us in this country, there are people terrified of what's going to happen. And they're calling unto every god that they know to save them. They're calling unto the god of money, unto the god of religion, unto the god of government to save them from the storm. And in addition to calling on their guard, on their God, they're casting forth the wares that are in their ship. Maybe if I just get this out of my life, I'll be okay. Maybe if I can just bring this into my life, I'll be okay. And here we are, prophets. We've been saved. We've got the Spirit of God living in our hearts. We've got the Word of God in our hands. But too many times we're down in the bottom of the ship, fast asleep. Jonah didn't care what happened to him. He didn't care if he died. He knew where he was going to spend eternity. But what about these other men? These people all around him. Do you have mariners all around you? People in your family, people at work, neighbors. They're trying everything they can. In the Philippines, it's religion. Maybe if I just have my body beaten. Maybe if I just crucify myself to depict what Christ did. Maybe that'll be enough. And here we are, fast asleep. We need to wake up to the need that's all around us this morning. The Bible tells us, awake to righteousness and sin not. In fact, if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Bible says here in verse number 34, Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. This is a commandment this morning to awake to righteousness. Folks, if I can make a call this morning, a wake-up call, it's time for us as God's people to awake to righteousness and to sin not. For some in Cincinnati, Ohio, have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But you know what? Just like I can speak that to your shame, I can say this, that I need to awake to righteousness and sin not, for some in Fargo, North Dakota have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to my shame. And all around us in the world, there's one reason that people haven't heard the gospel, because God's people are asleep. So focused on the things going on in our own lives, so focused even on the things that may be going on in our church, that we forget to look outward. When the commission of the church was to go, and we say, come. Now, I'm all for inviting people to come to your church. I'm all for putting signs out, welcoming people to come. But our command is to go, not to stay. And a lot of churches today are advertising, but they're not going. They're saying come, but they're not going. We need to awake to righteousness and sin not. Let's wake up. Let's not get into this spiritual sleep. Go with me to John chapter number 4. I made reference this morning in Sunday school to John 4:35. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. But I'd like to give you a little bit of context in this first. If you know John chapter 4, Jesus has been dealing with the Samaritan woman at the well. You know the story? This woman comes along. She's living in adultery. She's been married 5 times. She lives a wicked life. She comes to the well to draw water. She meets Jesus on the way there, or while she's there. Jesus witnesses to her. She gets saved. The Bible says she leaves her water pot. A picture of salvation. The very reason she came to the well, she left it behind. Because now she has living water. She has a greater purpose to go back into the city and begin witnessing to others. And she does just that. Just what every Christian should be doing. What a wonderful victory happened that day in Samaria. But then the disciples come along. And you know, the disciples had a way of kind of taking the wind out of the sails. You know what I mean? And verse number 27 says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?" What's going on here? The disciples are more concerned with Jesus' physical need of food than they are concerned about this person who's just been saved, and now she's out witnessing and others are coming to Christ. They're focused on the things of the world, on the temporal things of this world. And Jesus says here in verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Can I challenge you this morning that you would get your eyes off of the temporal things of the world? As you walk out those doors this morning, that you would lift up your eyes and look on the fields. That you would take a look at the need of the world around you. Christians so many times misinterpret what's going on all around us. We look at a person who's gothic, wearing all black, tattooed, pierced everywhere, and we say, what a wicked sinner they are. And they are. So was I. So are you if you're saved. If you're not saved, so are you. You need to be saved, forgiven. But we forget, we fail. We look at the outward appearance. We fail to look at the reason that they're that way on the outside. We fail to look at the heart of the issue. You see, the person that is that way, that lives a wicked life on the outside, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to fill a void in their life. They're trying to fill emptiness that's inside that can only be filled with Jesus Christ. And we have the message they need. This woman here, Jesus saw her. You know what she was trying to do? She was trying to fill a void in her life. She was married. Well, this husband, I still don't have peace. I must have the wrong husband. So I'll divorce him, marry someone else. Nope, still not the right one. Move on to number 3. No, I still have emptiness inside. Number 4. Number five, if I could just get the right husband, emptiness in her life. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Take a look at the world around you. Let us not sleep. Let us awake to righteousness. Disobedience to God's will starts with running. But secondly, can I say this? Because of the grace of God, if you'll go back with me to Jonah chapter 1. Because of the grace of God, the next step in disobedience to God, if you're a child of His, is reprimand. That comes from Him, the chastening that comes from God. A very sweet verse in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17, says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Aren't you glad this morning that when you are running from the will of God, He's willing to prepare a fish? God doesn't just write us off and say, "No, they're done. No more service to me." No, He says, "I'm going to prepare them a fish. I'm going to put them through some trials in their life that are going to bring them back to me." I'm glad that I had an earthly father that was willing to do just that with me, that was willing to chasten me when I did wrong. And I'm really glad that I have a heavenly Father that when I run from Him, when I disobey Him, when I sin, He prepares a fish. He'll chasten me. But it's always because He loves me, because He wants to bring me back into His will. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 7 says this, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" I'm glad that I'm a son of God this morning and that He chastens me and deals with me like a son. I'm glad that when I disobey, He's willing to take time, prepare a fish. Yeah, it may be difficult. I may not like it, but it's sweet to know that fish was there for me. It was because God loves me. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the belly of the fish. You're going through some trials. You're going through some difficult times. And you know it's because you've disobeyed God. You know it's because you haven't been obedient to His will for your life. You ought to be thankful for that this morning, that He's willing to chasten you. He's patient. He loves you. And He cares for you. God's disobedience to God's will starts with running. But then because of the grace of God, He's willing to reprimand us. But then thirdly, can I say quickly, because of God's reprimand, if we're willing to get back on track with God as Jonah did, we may be able to see revival. We may be able to see revival. Back to Jonah chapter number 2 this time. Jonah gets right with God in chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." You can read through the chapter and you find his prayer to God, his repentant prayer, saying basically, "Lord, I just want to get back into your presence. I want to do what you want me to do." Verse number 10 says, "Then the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh." You know the story. It goes on. Nineveh repented. People got saved. They were able to see revival. I'm glad for second chances this morning. I'm glad that God's mercies are new every morning, that He's willing to speak unto me again a second time, bring me back into His presence, and give me a commission again. Give me a command and say, "I want you to go and do my will." And then He reassures him, "I want you to preach the preaching that I bid thee." You see, when we're doing God's will, we're never alone. And He reassures Jonah and says, "I want you to preach the preaching that I bid thee. I'll give you the message You just go. God enables us to do His will. But because of Jonah's repentance, revival broke out in Nineveh. Do you know revival always starts with God's people? Revival always starts with God's people. The hope of our nation does not lie within the White House. The answer is not to just elect the right officials. The answer is God's people. And if God's people are willing to awake to righteousness and say, Lord, it's time for me to get back in your will, I believe we can see revival. I believe we can see it in our churches. I believe we can see it in our nation and across the world. We can see revival if we'll just get on God's side again. Get back in His will. Do you realize it is God's will that all men hear the gospel? That is His will, I promise you that. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that we reach the world for Christ. And we can do just that if we'll be willing to awake to righteousness. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter number 4, verse number 17 says this, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It starts with us. What is it in your life this morning that's hindering revival? Are you running from God? Are you down in the sides of the ship, fast asleep? Maybe some of you are even in the belly of the fish this morning. Isn't it time to pray to God? Get back on track with Him and say, Lord, we want to see revival. We want to see Your Word go forth. We just want to glorify You. By the way, that's what it's all about anyway. It's glorifying God. And we glorify God when we're in His will. His general will, obedience to what we know He wants us to do. His specific will, obedience to His will specifically for our lives. Are you being disobedient to God this morning? Maybe it's time for you to get that right with Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those mariners. You're not saved. You're outside of Christ. And up until this point in your life, you've been calling on every god you can think of to save you. You've tried religion and you find that doesn't work. You've tried sin and you find that doesn't work. You've tried the god of money, the god of government, all of these different things, and you find that they all leave you empty. There's only one thing that can fill a void in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. I can promise you this, the Christian life is a fulfilled life with an expected end. We know where we're going to spend eternity. We have a relationship with God. It's not because we're good people, because we're not. But we're forgiven people. You can be forgiven this morning. You can be saved. Jesus already died to pay the price for your sin. And you can be restored into that fellowship with Him. You can be brought into the presence of the Lord. You see, the life without Christ is an empty life on the way to a hopeless and Christless eternity. The saved life is just the opposite. Fulfillment, peace, joy that you've never experienced before. And a hope. An understanding that, you know what, when I die, there's no fear in death. Because death is nothing more than a step into the arms of my Savior. Are you saved this morning? God wants to save you. Are you willing to come to Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You so much. Lord, I thank You for my salvation, Lord, and what You've done in my life.